Our talk today, 15 minutes long, is Familiarity Breeds Contempt. We may have spoken about this before, but familiarity breeds contempt. And truly it does. It truly does. We have an organization here where we have a hierarchy of people for the purpose of doing the work and taking responsibility. And so it works very nicely, but it also has a few hang-ups with it. I give instructions to people to have them do nice things for themselves, and while I give instructions to people to have them do nice things for themselves, oftentimes they feel that they should take it upon themselves to countermand what I tell them to do. Point in case, this morning, when I came back from a walk, wasn't it this morning? Sylvia was just getting into the jacuzzi. And she saw me coming in and she realized I wanted to use it. So she quickly said, "Here you are, Herb." You know, I said, "Well, thank you." I said, "You go ahead and use it. I'll go feed the dogs first." And so instead of using it, Sylvia closed it and went to take her shower and so forth. Now, I said to use it because I wanted you to use it. And I did take some 5 to 8 minutes to feed the dogs, and it would have been plenty of time for you to take a nice jacuzzi. It seems as though sometimes all of you feel that you can ignore what I tell you because it seems an expedient thing to do and a proper thing for you to do. But that's never a proper thing to do. It's always proper to do the things I ask you to do. Now, I'm like the abbot, or like the president, or like the chairman of the board, or like the dean of the school, or something like that. And so, as I say to you, please follow the directions, whatever they are, that I give you. And if you do that, you'll have some wonderful magic taking place in your life. And you don't always do that. And you miss the magic. Now, Sylvia missed having a short, but actually a long jacuzzi. That's about the length of time I take. But a jacuzzi this morning to sort of toast her up a little bit. And it could have been so nice if she had just followed what I said for her to do. And Ellen sometimes forgets. She is all those things that I said I am not. But when I suggest to Ellen to do something, it is important to do it too. And when you don't do it, the gift is lost. It's not that it'll never be found again or that there won't be other gifts, but that gift, which could have been so beautiful and so meaningful, is lost. And Ingeborg does the same thing. I say to Ingeborg, "Ingeborg, stay awake during the meditation. Stay awake during the talks." And Ingeborg says, "Stuff it up your nose." You say that? You say that? My goodness, you do, by not paying attention. What have I offered for all of you to assist you in staying awake during meditations? Stricken, yeah. And do you do it? Sometimes and sometimes not. Now, this morning, Ingeborg had a specific time staying awake a couple times. And if you had been working with your needles, perhaps you would have found it easier to stay awake. Now, Do I give you an alternative? Do I give you an opportunity not to knit during the meditation and during the lectures? Do I give you an opportunity not to do that? And the answer is no. I have not said you don't have to knit during the meditation and during the time. I have not said that. I did say that? When did I say that?
I'm
sorry?
The first morning when we started with this...
Go ahead.
3-hour meditation.
Oh, the 3-hour meditation.
I heard that.
And what did I say?
Put the knitting aside.
I said, put the knitting aside.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And you did that, didn't you?
Yes.
All of you.
Yes.
Instantly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Then you were listening. Now, why would I tell you to do something like that when it's helpful for you to stay awake by doing the knitting. Why would I do that?
Well, to see where we are and if we follow it.
All right. Now, it's obvious that the knitting is helpful in keeping you awake, right? Okay. So now you can start knitting again, okay?
Thank you.
But listening is very good. I'm going to be testing you up and testing you down. Herb, you don't remember what you tell us. I'm sure I don't. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. So that's a thing for you to do now, to knit while we're having the meditation or while we're doing this. But don't make so much noise as your needle's clicking, you know. Yeah, keep that quiet. I mean, sometimes we complain about other people snoring. You should sleep near me. And then you'd hear some snoring. And we want to be real careful what we say about anybody because they're... No. They're just always a reflection of ourself. And so we want to... And of course, if you felt she was hurting, if she was strangling or something, you should go in. You should go in and say, Sylvia, are you all right? And she'd say, I was just having a good dream. But that's okay. Now, but again, you're moving into these new rooms now. And in the new rooms, you're going to do what? You're going to make them pleasant, right? And you don't have furniture that is from your retreats. That stayed there. All the furniture you had in your retreats, that stays there. If you had a chair there, it stays there. If you had anything there, it stays there. And so in this new location you have, you set it up with new things. And we have lots of furniture lying around doing nothing, and it could very well be in your little retreat rooms. Now, Anita has a problem, though. She needs to have a grand piano and a few big Davenports and other things to fill up that room, because the room is so big. And Sylvia, she doesn't have that trouble, because a few things she's already got in there pretty much fill it up. And you still need to have something in that room, because you don't have a closet or anything. And so we'll move a bookcase or two or something like that in there for you.
Thank you.
And a couple of overstuffed chairs, and then you can find room between all that to sleep. But no, we'll set things up. Always be careful, though, because in our doing, sometimes we forget. And you like me.
Yes.
Okay. So you think you should come to me and ask me things that should be asked of somebody else. Now, if Stefan were here as the abbot, would you ask him for things for your quarters?
I would take a deep breath and try to abstain.
And what?
Abstain.
Abstain? Mm-hmm. All right, now, Stefan's not here as the president right now, and so Ellen is that. Now, would you take another deep breath there, too? Oh. Because you can go to Ellen. She is the abbot and she is the president, and it looks like Stefan may want to come back and be something different. So we'll see what he chooses to do. But until he comes back, Ellen is filling all those. She's wearing all those hats, so she needs to have many hooks on her wall. When you come in there and you say, Ellen, she's what hat am I wearing? And you say the monk hat, you know, or you're wearing the abbot hat, or you're wearing the president hat, or you're wearing the chairman of the board hat, or you're wearing the director of the healing ministry hat, or you're wearing the head minister of the church hat. You know, that's a lot of hats. And what hat is she wearing? So you have to tell her when you go in. And my hat is Oberalis hat, you know. It covers everything. And that's okay, but you don't want to be to forget Ellen, because she has to feel that she's doing her job, you know. So everybody go to Ellen with whatever problem you have, and then if she can't figure it, then you come to me. But go to her first, because she's real easy. She's really easy. She does anything you want, gives you anything you want, just in such a love, right, Ellen?
You ask it, right? right?
Yes.
Yes, yes. And no matter what it is, if you want extra trip to town, or you want extra movies, or you want whatever, you know, just see Ellen, because she's great. But you have to be very careful that when I get cozy and cuddly with you, you sometimes forget that I'm still giving a lot of very definite suggestions to you for improving your spiritual path. And you want to do that. And if I ever say to you, please do something, and then you say, well, what is this? And I say, this is what it is. And you say, what do you mean? And I say, well, this is what it is. And you say, well, I don't know. I said, hey, what do you think you should do? And then you say, well, I should do this. And I said, well, then go do it. I will tell you to do whatever you want to do if you object enough. So just remember that. If you want to get your own way, just object enough. And after three times, I'll tell you, do it any way you like. It doesn't make any difference. Now, why would I do that? Why would I not stand up and say, no, no, no? Anybody got a suggestion?
Because we don't listen.
That's the next talk. Right now, it's a matter of, you listen, all right. You listen to hear me say it three times. You follow me? And then you know that after the third time, I'm going to agree with whatever you ask, because I don't care. You see, if you don't want to learn by the experiences that we're sharing with you, then that's your business. See, if you want to sleep during the meditation, if you want to sleep during the three-hour talk and stuff like that, that's your business, the three-hour talk, three-hour meditation. Because I'm aware of what you guys are doing. I may be out of the room or I may be in the room, but I'm totally aware of what you guys are doing. And I know everything you're thinking and everything you're saying. So be careful. You want to make sure that whatever you say, you're happy to have your mother hear it, you know. So, and Anita's going to have the privilege of having her mother hear what she's saying in a few days. And tomorrow you fly. What time's your plane?
11 o'clock in the morning.
A.M. Mm-hmm. Good. Mm. Yeah, that's a reasonable time. Mm. Well, that's good. And you're flying from here, right?
To L.A., yes. Indeed.
I mean, you're,
L.A.
You're flying out of San Diego. Yeah. Yeah. So, when you fly now, what are you going to do? Did you notify the airlines that you wanted vegetarian dinner?
Yes.
That was smart. And well, did you tell them what type of vegetarian you are? A lactose tolerant,
no.
Or chicken, fish, or vegetarian? You have to do that, you know.
A turkey vegetarian.
Yeah, turkey was good yesterday, wasn't it? But now when you get with your mom,
Remember,
familiarity breeds contempt. So when you're talking to her, Say all the beautiful things you want to say, but don't be offended by anything she says. Because she may have a hurt in her heart that you don't know about. And that hurt may be what causes her to act the way she does. And she may act in a way that might not be harmonious for you, and you just ignore it and go on with who you are. You follow me?
Yes.
Because when I dealt with your mom and I dealt with Irene's mother, I just had to go there as though she wasn't saying anything. And by the time I left, she was very happy. Both of them were very happy with what I was saying. But that's only because I just stood up for whatever I believed was good, you know. So don't get too familiar with your mom, you see. It's a little late to be telling me that. No, it's not. You have left home. You've been away from home now for quite a period of time. You're on your own, and you're doing your own thing, and you're very happy about it. And she's going to offer you suggestions for improving your life. And you say, thanks, Mom. You really are always thinking about me, aren't you? You're really thinking about wonderful things for me. But, Mom, you know what really interests me is, how is this new boyfriend of yours? What kind of guy is he? I don't know. What's his name? I don't know. The girl in love sort of thing, remember? But just whenever anyone brings up ideas that are touchy, just turn it back. And don't let that familiarity of how you used to do it stand you. It's over. Okay? Okay. So, familiarity breeds contempt, and we know how to handle it. I love you. Living in the now is the only important